1 Corinthians chapter 3. I failed to mention a while ago, Brother Buddy Joyce and Weatherly, do pray for them. They've gone back to Texas, and just pray God to bless them, the church out there. He testified here Sunday about that, and what a blessing it was to my heart. And I know he's involved in something that solid in doctrine and getting on the ground floor, so to speak, and he certainly is enjoying it. That's good. But God knows what he's doing when we don't. And 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I'm just picking up on that subject we've been trying to deal with for some time in the judgment seat of Christ. And we talked about judgment. We talked about trying to get myself turned on here. But we talked about the judgment and sinners at Calvary when Jesus died for us, and how he judges us as sons and chastening us as his children. And now we're talking about the judgment seat of Christ when we are judged as servants and when we receive rewards or else lose rewards. But stand, please, while I read the Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 13. Every man's work shall be manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Now, we're going to stop reading there. And God is making it plain that we're not saved by works. We're saved by grace through faith. But works will be rewarded, or else we will lose rewards, one or the other. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus, and thank you for the privilege that we have to pray. We just got around the altar and made prayer unto thee. And Father, I thank you that we can pray together and look to you together and worship together. Thank you for the Word of God. Now speak to our hearts tonight and help me say what I need to say. And I pray, God, that anyone in this house not saved, they'll see their need, and help all to be encouraged and strengthened, and help us learn from thy word, thy truths. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. As we think about these, the judgment seat and rewards, we've been talking about five rewards that the Bible mentions by name, and we shared these before, but I pray that God would stir our hearts and challenge us toward those rewards he talks about. In 1 Corinthians 9, he talks about the incorruptible crown. And that incorruptible crown is that one that is given for those folk who let God help them discipline themselves. Brother Johnson and I was just talking before church that there's no good thing in the flesh. And a new man born on the inside is always conflict with the flesh on the outside. And so one day, though, we'll get a new body glorified like unto Jesus. Thank God for that. But this reward is for those who, our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost, and we should treat it as such. And so there's a reward for that. Isn't it good God saved you by his grace, then rewards you for discipline in your own life? And then we talked about the crown of life in James chapter 1, verse 12. And that was being enduring temptations, whether it be temptation to do evil or temptation as far as a trial is concerned. And in doing that, God gives a crown of life. Now, every one of us has that possibility of receiving both of those crowns, because we all deal with the flesh, and we all have temptations, and we all have trials to go through. And we talked about that. Then we talked about the crown of rejoicing in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19 and 20. That crown of rejoicing has to do with winning others to Christ, being a testimony, being a witness. And so that has to do with that. And I'm glad we can have a part in helping others come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior. I don't know of anything any greater in this world outside of being saved and living for God and leading somebody else to Christ and helping somebody else to be saved and born in the family of God. And everybody can get involved in that. You say, that preacher, I can't do anything. You can invite somebody to church. You can hand somebody a tract. You can, sometimes somebody bring up a subject. They've had a death in their family. They've had a sickness in their family. They'll bring it up. Good time to talk about the Lord. A good time to invite them and deal with them. Then all of us have foes in our families and friends and neighbors that are need God that we keep dealing with and trying to help. So I pray that God would help us. And I tried to share with you that your pastor needs help, that I have a greater compassion for sinners than ever before. I do need that. I ask y'all for prayer. I mean that from the depth of my heart, that we may continually care for people that's going to hell without God. And people's not saved, that's where they go, but I'm glad that people are saved, go to heaven. And I'm glad tonight that I'm saved, amen. And we testify to that on Sunday night. But I want you to turn with me tonight in the 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter number 5. I want to deal with the crown of glory, and this will have a whole lot to do with preachers tonight. So I think about this, and a crown of glory sounds wonderful, but I know there's some great responsibility to deal with that. I'm going to spend a little bit of time with it. I don't know how to say this. Don't like attention drawn to me. I'd rather it be drawn to the Lord Jesus. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. And Jesus did it all. Amen. Only reason I'm standing here tonight is because of the fact of Jesus. Miss Linda was talking about me one day, and she said she's almost afraid to talk to me when we was growing up because I'd turn so red. I'd blush real easy. I was real backward, always have been. And I called my mom, told her God called me to preach. I thought she passed out on the other end of the phone. And but anyway, that be as it may, God did call me to preach. I know two things for sure. God saved me, and God called me. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt. And I praise God for it. I appreciate God's goodness to me because it's all Him. I know that. But let's read verses 1 through 4, chapter 5, 1 Peter. Listen to it. And I pray tonight that this will help you to understand pastors and preachers and pray more for us at carry the gospel. Now, everybody is important. And I do not mean in any way tonight to say anybody is any more important than anybody else. That's not it. It's the position that God puts us in that we become that, but not ourselves personally because we're simply instrument in the hand of God. But he does mention it, and listen to what God says. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. That's an encouraging verse to me. And I'm glad he's a chief shepherd, though. I'm just an under-shepherd. There is a chief shepherd that's going to appear one day, and he will bring that reward with him. But now, as an under-shepherd, I have some responsibilities and privileges also, but I'm thinking tonight about those responsibilities. I'm concerned about that. I'm concerned about being faithful in the thing that God called me to do. I'm concerned about that. I'm concerned that you as a church learn that, because I'll not always be around. If Jesus doesn't soon come, I'll not always be your pastor. And someday you'll be having another, if I pass on, I could get sick enough I couldn't pastor, but anyway, you're putting up with me pretty good so far. And if you have too much problem with putting up with me, go see one of the deacons and talk to them about it. Because I've already told them that if I get to where I can't pastor, then they'd come to me and tell me about it. And we'll talk to you about that at that time. But until then, Brother Tim said he's going to keep on singing, and I'm going to keep on preaching. Amen. Until then. So we'll just praise God and preach on. But I want you to understand me. I want you to and nobody understands the stress nor the pressure that a pastor has until they've walked in those shoes. That's true of any situation. That's true of any trial. You have to be in those shoes to understand that. But there's three positive things here, and there's three negative things that are given to us in these verses. I want to share them with you tonight. First of all, he says, feed the flock of God, which is among you. And that's the first thing he says to us as a pastor is feed the flock. I want you to turn with me, please, in John's Gospel, chapter number 21 and verse 15. John's Gospel, chapter 21 and verse number 15. Look at it with me. We'll read about three verses here. Here's after Jesus resurrected from the dead. Peter had denied Jesus three times. And Jesus is with him and he's talking to him. Here's what he says. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He said, I want you to do something for me. He said, I want you to feed my lambs. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Now, I know there's a play on words here in the Greek with the philo and agape kind of love, God kind of love, and philo kind of love. Peter was afraid to answer with God kind of love because he'd done failed God once. He realized that, so we're not going to all that tonight. That's not my motive here. It's the fact that what God is telling Peter, I want you to feed my lambs, feed my sheep. And he said in verse 17, Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? Remember, he had denied him three times. And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. He making sure that he understood he had a job for him to do, making sure that he understood that job and that he was to feed his sheep. Now, I want you to turn with me tonight into Acts chapter number 6. Acts chapter number 6. We're going to deal with deacons and preachers here a little bit tonight. Acts chapter 6, verse number 2. They had a problem here in the church, in the early church. Some complainants had come up and they were complaining about how they're being taken care of, the widows being taken care of in that day, how they did it. And so some felt like they had been neglected and so they were complaining about it. And the disciples got together and here's what they say in verse number 2. Then the 12 called the multitude of disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. And do you notice that? That he said, look out, men full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, some men that love God, and said, whom we may appoint over this business. Nowhere in the Bible did it ever say that the deacons appoint the preacher to do anything. It said the preachers appoint the deacons to do it. I'm glad we have deacons that understand that. After I first came here, I took Brother Terry with me to several meetings. Every meeting we went to, they preached on deacons. He said, you keep taking me to these meetings? I thank God for godly deacons. And I don't say that just because I'm preaching here in a church where I pastor. I do. I thank God for that. It's wonderful to have men of God that I can get together. And they love God. They want to do what's right. They have a desire in their hearts. And I thank God for that. Amen. And I rejoice in it. Now look in verse number 4. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to ministry of the word. And that is our job. Amen. First thing he talks about is feed my sheep, feed my lamb. And he said that we may give ourselves a ministering of the prayer and the ministering of the word. Sometimes people get the idea that the pastor's main job is that he go to the hospital and go to the sick rooms and go to the homes and do this and do that and all that other stuff. And that is not any more my responsibility than it is yours. It's everybody's responsibility to visit the sick and pray for them and help them. Now, I'm not taking away from the fact that pastors need to do some of that. I'm not in any way minimizing that fact, and I've tried for 40-some years to do so, but in the last year, that has come to a certain slowdown, and that's all right. That's okay, because I still want to be what God wants me to be. That's in the Word of God, and praying and preaching and ministering and talking about the Word of God. Is that not true? Is that not what God says? I need your prayers, and every preacher needs your prayers, because when you stand to preach, you stand in a place where no man stands alone. If he does, he's in trouble, I can tell you that. And we need God to help us, and I praise God that he does and rejoice in it. Every time I preach, I think about how good God is. Because if it wasn't for the grace of God, and sometimes I stutter and stammer and can't get said what I wanted to say, and sometimes it may seem like I strike out and all that kind of stuff, and that happened. But I can tell you right now, just to get up and say something for Jesus is a blessing to me, because I, at one time in my life, I didn't think I'd ever do that, but God, and I'm glad that God intervenes and God does what he does, amen, the way he does it. And so he said, feed the flock, and that's our job. And have you ever noticed when you're feeding babies, babies get food other places than where they ought to get it? When babies start eating, I've often said there's two things I love to watch eat, a baby and a pig. If you've never slopped a hog, you have missed it. If you've never took a bucket of slop and poured it down that trough, into that trough for that hog, and watched him get in it with his two front feet, and then get his nose in it and blow bubbles and take a whole biscuit and chomp down on it and take it down and whatever else is in there and go, it up. If you've never seen that, you've missed a blessing. And young people never seen that, you ought to go find you a farm somewhere where they got some pigs and just watch it done one time. It'll bless your heart, amen. They enjoy what they do. And a child enjoys, a baby, when it's eating, starts eating, it's just begin learning to eat, get things in its hand, and try to put it in its mouth, to get it in its eyebrow, and to get it on their nose, and in their nose, and on their face, and down. You got a lot to look forward to with Jubilee coming on, yeah. But anyway, they get it everywhere, but they enjoy it. They'll get some in their mouth, and they enjoy what they get in their mouth. They get some in enough to eat and swallow it, amen. And let me say hallelujah. That's how it is preaching sometimes. It may look like it's a scattering everywhere, Brother McIntosh. It may look like it's running off some's head, some eyebrows, and some just letting it flow off. But some's going to get in. And preaching somewhere, some's going to get down, and some's going to do some good. I say hallelujah. And praise God, and you'll see something happen. I thank God for that. I rejoice in it. Said, feed the flock that is among you. So that's our responsibility. Our job is to feed you. So pray for us as we try to feed you. And sometimes it's steak. Sometimes it's a full roast and mashed potatoes or baked potatoes and rolls, yeast rolls, hallelujah. And sometimes it's cake and ice cream. And sometimes it's turnip greens. And sometimes it's spinach. Sometimes it's whatever it is you don't like, it may be that on the menu for the day, but God puts it on the menu, and we eat whatever God serves us to eat. Amen. And so anyway, feed the flock. Well, I got to get off that subject because we got to go here tonight. But verse number 2, back in our text, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof. Now, there's another thing he said for us to do. Feed the flock, then take the oversight. I want you to turn back with me into Hebrews chapter number 13. Hebrews chapter 13. I want you to see this. Verse 7. Hebrews 13, verse 7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God. That's no problem. Understand who he's talking about. Whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Remember them, pray for them, those have the rule over you. Verse 17, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they must give an account. They may do it with joy, not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. He's saying for those who that are over you and taking the oversight thereof, and that's a great responsibility. And I realize the fact that before God, I'll have to stand one day and give an account of the oversight of this church. How I lead this church, which direction we go, and what we do, and that's an awesome responsibility. And I'll be honest with you, that doesn't excite me about meeting God, having to answer for that responsibility that God has laid upon us, preaching the Word of God. And that's an awesome responsibility, because I know that men and women, boys and girls hear preaching, and what they hear is going to affect them. And so I have that responsibility to guide and direct. And so I have that. And it says, obey them. And we don't come to be a dictator nor to overlord, and I'll get to that in a moment, but we must take the oversight thereof. And being an overseer is not somebody that carries a club around, beats you over the head with, but somebody just trying to see that things are done right. That's why we have people that's under us. And I listened to the message Brother Tim preached the other Wednesday night when I was gone in revival, and he's preaching about the pastor, being the pastor, the nursery pastor, the everything, and he started mentioning off a bunch of stuff. And he's right. The pastor is, and he has that responsibility. And I try to delegate out that responsibility more than I used to delegate out, because I found out I can't do everything. I need somebody to do some of that and delegate that out. And they take it and they do it, but I still oversee what they do. If they get out of line, it's my place to see that it gets back in line and gets back where it ought to be. Amen. And so I appreciate those that help us, those that work hard and help us and doing that. But notice the third positive thing. It says in verse number 3, the latter part of that, but being examples to the flock, that is, be an example. I am to be an example of what a Christian ought to be. I'm to be the right example in faithfulness. I'm to be the right example in witnessing. I'm to be the right example in what we do, how we act, how we conduct ourselves. And so we are to be that example. And you pray that we will be, and God help us be, and we want to be that God would have us to be. But let's look at the negatives here that he gives us. And that'll tell us something about preachers too. Look at verse number 2. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight. There's two positive things. But then he says, not by constraint, but willingly. That is, not being made to do it. If you constrain somebody, you're making them do something. They're being made to do it. Now, I am to take the oversight thereof, not because somebody said, now you're the preacher and you've got to do this. That's not the way I'm supposed to do that. I'm to do it willingly, because I am the pastor, and because God did put me here, and God did leave me here, and God has got his will to be done and accomplished here. I'm to do it willingly. Amen. Not being made to do it, not regretting to do it, but doing it willingly. And I'll be honest with you, these times in trying to make some decisions, I'd much rather pass the buck. Fact is, I like passing the buck sometimes. Let somebody else take the blame for it or whatever, or somebody else say, this is the way it's going to be. This has got to be. I was talking to Brother Mark the other day and Brother Tim too about some things. And I said, some things we just have to set. This is it. This is what we're going to do. And so we have to sometimes to handle things that way. And so as we do it not because we don't love people and don't care, but because somebody has to stand somewhere and be the overseer. And I need to do that willingly. I need to do that because I love God. I need to do that with all my heart, because that's God's church, it's his people, and I want the very best for them. Moses, when he led the children of Israel, I've read that account, and I get almost amused at it, because God will talk to Moses and said, your people. And Moses will be talking to God, he'll say, your people. And it seemed like sometimes neither one of them wanted to claim them. He's always trying to, I'm saying, it's your people, you take care of it. And then God tell Moses, it's your people, and you take care of it. And what it was really both of them, but it's really God's people. But God had Moses as his under-shepherd, and he was to do what man had to do, and God doing what God was supposed to do, and they worked together on it and got the job done. I say, amen. And that's what I'm supposed to do, work with God to get the job done. and do that. So I praise God for it. But then he said, not for filthy lucre. And you know what filthy lucre is? That but before I have a ready mind, that's money. Money. He said, don't do it for money. And if you do, that's wrong. And there's many of a preacher that has got hung up in the money end of it and let it ruin him. I made a statement when I first came here, and I'll make it again tonight. I am not for sale. You cannot buy me nor sell me. I did not come for money. You can't run me off without money. So just as money. And church has taken well care of me. Church has been good to me, done very well. I have nothing but say thank you, Lord, and thank you, church, for the way you take care of me. And I appreciate that with all my heart. I really do. But I want you to know I don't get up here because you pay me, because you give me a check, because you help me. I don't get up here and preach for that. I preach because God called me to preach. I preach because God sent me to preach. And I preach at Gateway Baptist Church because God put me here at Gateway Baptist Church. And fact is, when I came to Gateway Baptist Church, I didn't intend to stay at Gateway Baptist Church. I just come in to preach a few times, and I'm leaving you folk. Of course, I didn't know you. And you didn't know me. But it didn't take us long till we found out God was in it. And just hung around 23 years so far. Look, I think that's right. Looking for 24 coming up. And this meant to come a time or two. That stayed a long time, didn't it? But anyway, God got in it. And but filthy lucre, money. And I appreciate that. But I want to do what's right by money. I want to always do that. And don't preach for that. If anybody says, I got to have so much to preach, chalk them off. Chalk them off. Now look at verse number 3. Here's another negative. Neither is being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples. That is, I'm not your Lord. I'm not the Lord that over you. I'm not God. I'm not Jesus. And I appreciate, and I don't know what's going on down in Georgia with Brother Joe Arthur. And what they have planned down there, I don't know. I appreciate that. Tabernacle Baptist College gave me an honorary doctorate degree. I appreciate that. As far as I know, I'm the only second man that didn't graduate from Tabernacle to ever do that. And I appreciate that. I don't take that lightly. And I don't know what a doctorate degree is supposed to do for you, but anyway, I got one. And I appreciate the honor. I really do. I appreciate the honor. I appreciate whatever Joe has, and whatever that is, I don't, knowing Joe Arthur, it's hard to say. If he downloads this, I'm in trouble. But anyway, I don't know what all that's about, but I do know this, that I am not to lord it over you. I am to preach to you, try to help you, guide you, direct you, but I am not going to tell you what you do in your own home, and if you're going to buy, I've heard of preachers that if some of the church members are going to buy a car, they had to get his permission to do it. I say hogwash. Amen. Y'all still with me? And if you want to go in debt, that's your business. As long as you don't steal from God and do it. And if you want to buy a house, I'm not going to go look at your house, see if it's all right. I'm not going to follow you around, see what you do. See this or see that and watch it, amen. There's some things I tolerate and put up with, but that I may see a little different, but that's what I'm trying to say to you. I'm to love you as a pastor loves a flock of sheep that he cares for, and what he does for those sheep, he tries to take care of them, tries to keep the ticks off of them, tries to keep them fed good, tries to keep them watered good, try to keep them in good shape and keep them healthy and keep them going and then just let them be sheep. And he don't try to make them something else. Don't try to make a workhorse out of them. He don't try to make a some kind of a goat out of them. He just tries to let them be sheep. And so that's what I'm trying to do as your pastors. I'm trying to pasture you, lead you to green pastures. I'm trying to help you and just let you be sheep. The chief shepherd will be satisfied with when we get home to glory one day. Amen. Well, now, that's a crown of glory. I'm looking for that crown of glory. Amen. And I pray that God will help me. And you pray for me, God will help me. And tonight, if you're here and you say, preacher, I don't know about all, well, God put it in his word and I just gave it to you. And so tonight, I thank you and I love you and I praise God for the privilege to preach and to be your pastor, and pray that God will bless us all and help us all work together to see people get saved. And I tell you, one of the greatest joys a pastor has is getting called back to the church like he did Sunday night with Amanda, and get to be with her when she got saved, and get to see that. That's my heart's desire. That's my life, is to see people come to know Christ as Lord and Savior. I say hallelujah, and I praise God for it. Amen. Let's just keep on laboring together, doing what God has us to do, see things happen for the glory of God. Father, I pray you take your word. Help us tonight be the pastor we need to be. Help us be the leader we need to be. Help us be in that example that we need to be. Help us, Lord, to love like we ought to love, and to care for others, and Lord, have compassion. I pray for all of our people tonight. You bless them and help them. And Father, should there be somebody here tonight that needs Jesus or needs to come and pray about anything, we want to give them that opportunity. So I pray the Holy Ghost would do his work right now in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I want you to stand to your feet, please.